Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's gone 12 minutes past the hour of 10 the Sunday morning. Alhamdulillah, we are now back on air, and inshallah we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that hopefully the lines won't trouble us and those glitches have alhamdulillah been sorted out. We have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the line with us. As we said, this is the Q&A program, and in this program we will try and answer the questions that has been on your mind, and you can send us your questions through, whether it is questions pertaining to Ramadan, questions matters arising out of the month of Ramadan, or matters besides the month of Ramadan as well. Inshallah, Mufti Saab will be answering all your questions. You can call us directly here at the studio, 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can send us a WhatsApp message or SMS. Both of them will work, but please, you have to use the number 060-988-3972. The screen, the studio WhatsApp number is not working currently for this program. We do apologize for that, and we do sincerely apologize that unfortunately this program, due to some technical glitches, was not able to go out in the previous hour. Inshallah, it will run smoothly in this hour. We welcome Mufti Saab on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana Ahmad, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Mufti Saab, we would like to start off by apologizing that unfortunately we kept you on wait, and unfortunately the previous hour the program was unable to go through. Please do forgive us for that.
No, understandable, Maulana. I'm sure these things do happen from time to time, so it's understandable.
Jazakallah for that.
It gave me a few minutes to have a small nap in between.
See, alhamdulillah.
Okay.
Mufti Saab, for myself, it gives me great honor to share this platform with a person of your caliber. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of benefit for myself and benefit for all the listeners, inshallah.
Ameen.
Mufti Saab, starting off with the questions that have come through, I see there's already two questions that have come through on the SMS number. Can one use lip ice or Vaseline on lips when fasting?
Yeah, it is allowed to use the lip ice or the Vaseline, but it must not be put in so thickly that you can swallow some bits of it. Once you take a bit of precaution, if you can avoid it, it's better. Use it in the evening hours. That will be the safer thing to do.
Jazakumullah. Second question reads, Ramadan Mubarak to all. While making wudu, you break wudu. Do you have to start again?
Yes, whilst you're making wudu, if your wudu broke, then you got to start again. Because whatever you had washed up to that point in time will not be regarded as counted. So you actually got to commence with your wuzu all over again.
Mufti Saab, another question reads, during Ramadan, due to the greater reward, one is inclined and motivated to perform additional nawafil salah. However, if one has qaza-i umri, should preference be given to performing the qaza-i umri instead of nafil namaz such as awabin, tahiyyat al-masjid, etc.?
Indeed, there is great reward for doing nafil ibadat in the month of Ramadan. As we know, it comes in the narration that nafil salah or any nafil act is multiplied to that of a farz. So the reward of nafil is definitely enhanced in the month of Ramadan, and therefore one should actually try to engage in the various nafil salahs, such as Salatul Ishraq and Salatul Duha, and Salatul Awabin and Salatul Tahajjud and other forms of Nafil Salah, Salatul Shukr and Salatul Tawbah and Salatul Haja and Tahiyyatul Wudu and for the men Tahiyyatul Masjid, etc. However, if a person has got Qaza outstanding, which is called Qaza Umri, that is the Salahs that were not performed during one's life in the earlier years perhaps, and you have to make good those salahs, then it will be preferred to read Qaza-i Umri to reduce the number of those salahs. When one has completed the Qaza-i Umri, then one may read as many nafil salahs as one desires to. But one should first give preference to Qaza-i Umri. It is like you owing someone a debt, and at the same time you also want to give some charity. So we would say, no, first you pay your debt off, then you can give charity. I'm just using this as an example.
Okay.
So do your qaza umri, and then do thereafter you can do nafil salat. Or one could do this, that say you're reading your ishraq salah. So you could read 2 rakats of ishraq and then read 4 rakats of qaza umri.
So
read 2 rakats of chashd and read 10 rakats of qaza umri. Read 2 rakats of awabin and read a few rakats of qaza umri. So in that way, you're doing a little bit of nafil, and at the same time, you focusing on completing the qaza umri.
Jazakallah, Muftisa, for the detailed answer. I do understand that we have some callers on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, how are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, yourself?
Alhamdulillah, sir. It's Sirin to Abdullah here in Soweto. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask whether a type of investment that a Muslim can embark upon, or maybe have, say, maybe in terms of shares or in a company, or maybe can I please get advice in terms of investment that a Muslim can invest in. Jazakallah.
Okay, Jazakallah. Mufti Saab will answer your question. The second caller, if you could go to the second caller, your question. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, it's just the one call that has come through. Other call has dropped the line. Mufti Saab, the person that has phoned in and asked the question, he wants to know with regards to investments and investing in shares, etc., buying shares in a company. Can Mufti Saab give any advice on that?
Okay, inshallah, to the brother Abdullah from Soweto. Yeah, interesting question, the one about us, you know, investing, and which are the compliant avenues in which one should invest or one is allowed to invest. You see, first of all, one cannot invest in anything that, you know, that has interest dealings or that has interest-bearing income. So one should not invest in any such form of investment. So, or any company that indulges in un-Islamic trading activities, one is also not allowed to invest in such a company. For example, a brewery, for example, a gambling company, for example, a company that deals in, you know, sale of haram items like pork, wine, etc. One is not allowed to invest in such companies. Other than that, those companies that, you know, the activities of that company are permissible in Islam, like, you know, there's so many hundreds of such companies, mining, all the mining companies. Of course, as I said, additional to that, they should not be indulging in interest transactions. So these are the two factors to take into consideration. The main activities must be permissible, it must be allowed in Islam, and there must be no interest transactions, and there should not be borrowing on interest or lending out interest and charging interest to anyone. So what I meant is borrowing or lending on interest, this will not be allowed. So these type of companies one should avoid. The rest of the companies are in order. So insurance companies, banking companies, you know, other such commercial companies that deal with interest, these are not allowed. But all other companies, pharmaceutical and, you know, agricultural and construction and mining and utilities and so many other such companies, they do offer legitimate services that are permissible activities, trading activities, so it will be allowed in such companies.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Based on the answer that Mufti Saab has given now, I think Mufti Saab started off by saying that investing in certain places like breweries, etc. So there's a question that has come from there. The person asks, Assalamu alaikum, there are Muslims working at breweries. Is this allowed?
No, it will not be allowed to work for such companies that deal in wine and so on. they should look for alternative employment as soon as possible, and then they should leave and move on.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahab. Another question coming through on the WhatsApp line reads, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti Sahab. Please advise, I'm unemployed, but alhamdulillah, I'm still managing to keep my fast. Is fitra farad upon me?
Person is unemployed.
Gee, that's what he said. It says, yeah, I'm unemployed, but alhamdulillah, I'm able to keep my fast. Is fitra farad upon
okay.
me?
I'm sort of not making the relationship between unemployment and fasting. But maybe, I think maybe the person is probably trying to say they're not financially very well off. So, whatever, if a person is able to fast, then one must fast. One must continue fasting. And yes, if you're talking of the fitra being a compulsory, meaning the sadaqatul fitr at the end of Ramadan, then if you're unemployed and you don't have the means to pay the sadaqatul fitr, that means in the morning of Eid al-Fitr you should have the equivalent of nisab. If you don't have the equivalent of nisab on the morning of Eid al-Fitr, then sadaqatul fitr will not be compulsory upon you. So you don't, there's no compulsion for you to pay the sadaqatul fitr. You will be absolved from paying the sadaqatul fitr. So, but that has no bearing on the fast itself. The fast must be kept, and yes, you will be absolved of paying sadaqatul fitr. I hope I've understood the actual intent of the question, Maulana.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahab. I think that was what the person was trying to ask, although they mixed up the two matters, which is obviously two separate matters. Mufti Sahab, another question that has come through. Okay, we have a call on the line. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Malala, I want to know, I'm in my mid-70s. I never learned to read the Quran. I'm trying to learn it now by reading the transliteration. Am I allowed to listen to the Quran, listening to somebody else reading, and I'm following in the Quran Sharif?
Okay, JazakAllah. Mufti Sahab will respond. Mufti Sahab, you got the question?
Yes, I got the question. Yes, it is allowed for you to do so. You could have the Quran transliteration open in front of you, and as that person is reciting, you can follow after that person. Inshallah, you will be rewarded for this effort of trying to read the Quran. Ideally, one should read in the Arabic script itself, because transliteration, it's not easy to convey all the pronunciations of the peculiar aspects of the Arabic language, which, you know, transliteration is unable to truly convey. You know, there's the issues of tajweed, the makharij aspects, the sifat of those qualities and so on. But if you do listen to someone reading and you sort of follow that person, try to listen to someone who's reading a bit slow so that you are able to keep the pace. And if you do so, inshallah, you will be rewarded.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Another question comes through, reads, what can I read when experiencing depression?
That's a sad question, Maulana.
Jee.
But yes, indeed, there is a situation where people do experience depression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give everyone relief from these conditions. There's many things that one could read, really. Ulama have also mentioned that reading a lot of things is not necessarily the cure for the depression. One must sort of try to track down the cause or the factors that are causing the depression. Sometimes it could be psychological, so you have to address those factors. Sometimes it could be physical or physiological, so one must take medication, etc., if in that condition. But nevertheless, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, it has been mentioned that this sentence, to this words, these words, they are, you know, so beneficial that it is a cure for 99 sicknesses, and among them is also depression and sadness. So that's one thing one can read, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. To read ayat al-kareema, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam read this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah ta'ala says that we gave him relief from gham, from sadness, from worry, depression, if you want to put it that way. And وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And in this way we will give relief to the believers. So ayat al-kareema, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Read Durood Sharif. Durood Sharif is also very effective, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, إِذَنْ تُكْفَ hammuk, your worries will be taken care of if you read a lot of Durood Sharif. Allah ta'ala make it easy and remove these problems.
Ameen, ameen. Mufti Sahib, as you know, it is the month of Ramadan, people are fasting, so this is a question that people ask very, very often, is that with regards to vomiting, you know, a person, sometimes people vomit at the time of Sehri. I see one question has come out that this morning, immediately after brushing my teeth, just before the time of Sehri could terminate, I vomited a little. What is the status of my fast?
No, well, first of all, vomiting itself does not even break the fast.
Gee.
Unless it is a mouthful and it has been deliberately induced. So if you vomited any amount but it was not deliberate, the fast is not broken. Or if you vomited less than a mouthful and it, even though it was deliberately induced, it will not break the fast. The fast will only be broken if it was a mouthful and it was deliberately induced, then that will cause the fast to break. And this was not even in the fasting time, it was before Sehri time, so definitely it has no bearing on the validity of the fast. The fast is absolutely valid.
Jazakumullah. Mufti Sahib, another question with regards to fasting. Does one have to fast if they don't want to? And can you force a person to fast?
Well, first of all, you know, I mean, if a person, nobody can force anyone to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is Allah's law, and everyone is required to uphold the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is, once fasting becomes farz and compulsory upon an individual, then you have to fast, whether you like it or not, you have to fast. And there's no thing that you don't want to do something. You have to do what is compulsory.
Okay.
If you don't want to do it, then it means it's a sign of weakness of your iman, and it's your inability or your not being wanting to comply with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. So it is a sinful thing. And you are regarded as a fasiq, as a sinner, as a transgressor, if you miss out particularly the fard actions in Islam. But nobody can force anyone. I mean, they can persuade someone, they can encourage them, they can give them the virtues, the benefits, give them the warnings for not doing so. But of course, you can't force anyone. That has to be the individual choice.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahib. We do remind the listeners, this is the Q&A, and Mufti Zubair Bayat from Darul Ihsan in KwaZulu-Natal is answering our questions today. We do remind you, you can send or you can call the studios directly, 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can send your questions to 060-988-3972. That's 060-988-3972. Mufti Sahib, more questions coming through. The person asks, can you do a blood test during Ramadan? I suppose it's during fasting.
Yes, there's no problem. If you do a blood test, it's fine. It's in order. It doesn't have any impact on the fast itself. However, one should be careful that it must not make you so weak that, you know, as a result of which you're unable to continue with your fast, you might as well delay it to after Ramadan in that case.
Okay, Mustafa, another question also with regards to fasting. The person says that I suffer from nose bleeding during the month of Ramadan while fasting. What is the status of my fast?
As long as the blood doesn't trickle down the throat, it will not affect the fast.
Jazakumullah. Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to make dua for a ghair mahram, and will the dua get accepted?
It is permissible to make dua for anyone, as long as one is making a valid dua, a proper dua. For example, we make dua for mu'mineen and mu'minat, muslimin and muslimat. We attend janaza salah of, for example, a ghair mahram woman. We make dua a maghfirat for that person. We make dua at the qabr of that person. We can make dua for a woman who's unmarried, make dua, Allah Ta'ala, find her a good partner, get her married. If she's ill, we can make dua for her cure and her shifa, etc. Dua is for every person, every believing man and woman, and even for non-believers, one can make dua for their hidayat and guidance.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Two callers on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jiba, you can go ahead.
You can hear me?
Jiba, we can hear you.
I was asked, Mufti Sahib, after the millennium, year 2000, a lot of people have come from outside the countries. Now, I would like to know, we still have the four mazhab. Am I right?
Jee.
So I noticed in Juma, because I'm elderly and I'm not too well, so I sit in the back of the chair. So the people... Hello?
Jee, we can hear you. You can
So the people come to the mosque now. They come late, you know. Like you can say about when a namaz is about, they come in the mosque and they don't feel the gaps up. Now, I'm sitting in the back now. We are brought by a different school of thought. So I tell them, come forward, but they're not interested. So don't you think the khatib, when he goes to give the khutbah, every mosque, they must call everybody forward. And then, when the namaz starts, some of the muslims straight away start with the ikamat. So the khatib must see from top, like the back people are all standing, and he must tell them, come forward, then start the namaz. And one more thing, the children, the school children in the back, they talk away, they play with the cell phone. Because I'm elderly, I can't sit in the front. Sometimes I have to rush to the toilet. So we're getting disturbed very badly. And in our days, our Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he should tell the madrasa boys, see which boys are not reading namaz, which boys are playing fools. Or the prefect of all the schools must tell the children keep quiet, and the elders must go forward. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before Mufti Sahib comments, we'll just see if the second caller, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, now the question is that, you know, I'm fasting, and then I've got a little bit of a problem with passing urine. So I've been using a catheter for about 20 years, you know, to get the urine out, right? And now the doctor did tell me that sometime I will bleed from the penis, you know, when I take the urine out. You know, when I use the catheter, I go to insert the catheter and then take the urine out. Now, if I bleed from the penis, does my fast break or not? That's question number one. Question number two, the insulin, you know, sometimes I'm a diabetic, but if the sugar goes down too high, if you take insulin, does it affect your fast? Another thing, being a diabetic, the sugar is sometimes high. Do I have to fast or I don't have to fast?
Okay, Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib, on this one. Jazakallah khair. Mufti Sahib?
Yeah, well, I got the question from both the callers.
Okay.
Let's start with the second caller, just so that we can address these things that are more relating to fasting. As far as the catheter is concerned, I don't think that has any bearing on the fast itself. It doesn't affect the validity of the fast. And as far as the insulin injection is concerned, that is also permissible when a person is fasting.
Okay, Jazakumullah.
As long as I'm not sure where the person is injecting it, I don't think it goes directly into the stomach.
Okay.
In all probability, it's just, you know, in the skin.
Okay.
and so that does not affect the validity of fast. Any injection for that matter, as long as it doesn't go directly into the stomach of a person, it will not affect the validity of the fast. And of course, if a person is diabetic to the extent that it's so chronic that if you don't, if you continue fasting, it can adversely affect your health and all of that. And a medical doctor, specialist gives you the ruling that in your case, it will be better for you not to fast. And that is a Muslim doctor, knowledgeable, pious, understanding of Islamic laws, etc. If he gives you that ruling, then you are able to omit the fasting and make qaza later at a time when your sugar is more under control. Or if you are unable to at all, then you could give fidya.
Okay.
So this is as far as the issue of diabetes and fasting is concerned. Regarding the other caller about the Jummah Salah and all of that, yes, indeed, we do find people, neglecting these aspects that were raised by the caller, not going in front and filling the rows and sort of lingering around in the back. And also the children causing disturbances, etc. So as a standard procedure, the imam should not just commence the salah of Jummah immediately without first making sure that the safs are all filled, the safs are straight, everything is orderly. And therefore we find Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to announce before every salah, Sawwu Sufufakum, straighten yourselves. In the haram till today, virtually every salah they announcing, please brothers, straighten yourselves and make sure yourselves are filled properly. So this type of announcement is something that should be a standard practice. An imam should not commence the Jummah until the safs are more or less formed properly. So that will address the problem raised by the elderly caller who called in. And when it comes to children, again, announcements should be made, that children should form their safs properly and, they should respect the sanctity of the masjid and so on. Unfortunately, what he's mentioning is a reality in many masjids where there's a lot of noise, there's a din carrying on whilst the Jummah talk is in progress, children are laughing, joking, talking, chatting, and they're playing with their phones. And the days of monitor and all of that, I think that's like history now, Maulana. Those years you had all that kind of setups and systems where, somebody was responsible and the ustad. Today, it's such a world that nobody has got authority over anyone. Children have got such rights to these days that even the parents can't hardly do anything to them, leave alone anyone else. But we have to use persuasion and diplomacy and reminders and encouragement. This way, inshallah, we hope that children will comply and they will uphold the sanctity of the masjid. A lot of education has to be done around this, especially in our madrasas, our maktabs, and even at our Jummah talks. Allah give hidayat and guidance.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Muftizab, Jazakallah for those detailed explanations and the answers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of practicing. More questions coming through. I'm seeing the SMS questions coming through. The question reads, can you brush your teeth with toothpaste while fasting?
It's makruh to actually use toothpaste when you are fasting. And if any bit of it goes down your throat, your fast will actually break. So one should avoid using toothpaste when you are fasting.
Jazakallah. Muftizab, another question coming through on the SMS line. Salams, a family member not employed with no income, is it possible to give zakat to the family members?
Yes, it is allowed to give them zakat if they are recipients. But remember, one cannot give one's parents zakat, nor can the parents give the children zakat. one cannot give one's husband zakat, nor can the husband give the wife zakat. One cannot give zakat to grandchildren, and grandchildren can't give grandparents zakat. So these are the few family members between whom zakat is not permissible to be given. But if it's siblings, etc., other relatives, cousins and uncles, aunts, etc., then it will be allowed to give them if they are needy. And like they say, charity begins at home, so one should first take care of the needs of one's immediate family before giving it to outsiders.
JazakAllah, Muftizab. More questions coming through on the WhatsApp line now. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to use as an asthma pump during Ramadan? There is the inhaler.
The ruling, according to the scholars, is that it is not allowed to use the asthma pump, the inhaler, because inhaling any form of medication will also render the fast broken. This is the ruling. Obviously, these rulings are all based on current and contemporary situations. Some doctors I met felt that no, it doesn't have any substance and it shouldn't cause the fast to break. But the ruling of the jurist by far and large is that it does have an effect on the fast. It breaks the fast. So we go with that ruling. And, you know, maybe it requires some kind of research to be undertaken jointly between the doctors and some of the muftis. They can sit and discuss, the new developments in technology, and accordingly, the masla will be, the ruling will be formulated based on the new research and whatever they come up with now. But based on the existing ruling, yes, it will cause the fast to break. One will have to make qaza of that fast.
JazakAllah for that, Muftisab. Another question reads, Assalamu alaikum. I would like to know if a woman is napak and she recites Surah Yasin, if she knows it by heart.
No, one should not recite Surah Yasin in the state when one is unable to read Salah. One should not read Surah Yasin. One may recite du'as, for example, that are in the Quran, with the intention of du'a, not with the intention of tilawat. Surah Fatiha, for example, could be considered as a du'a. It's also called Surah Du'a. So if it's read with the intention of du'a, not with the intention of tilawat, then that will be allowed. But Surah Yasin should not be recited.
JazakAllah Muftisab. Another question. Salam. Does swallowing one's saliva mean the fast is broken? Also, can this question, Muftisab, did ask initially, this person probably tuned in a bit late. But anyway, the question reads, can we use Vaseline on the lips when fasting?
As swallowing saliva does not break the fast. It doesn't break the fast because it's from within your own mouth cavity, so it doesn't cause the fast to break. As far as the use of Vaseline, etc., as I mentioned earlier on, that, it should be used in very little quantities. If one swallows any part of it, that will cause the fast to break. So one should be take a lot of precaution when applying these things.
Muftisab, I do understand that we have some calls on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Mawlana and Mufti. Ramzan Mubarak. I've got a few questions. First is to do a transplant. Some Muftis give the ruling that you are allowed to receive any transplant like eye, corneas and kidneys and that. And some scholars says no, it's not allowed. It's very confusing now. What it's allowed and what's not allowed. They say you can't sell body parts, but you can donate. Another question is about smoking. If somebody is smoking around you and you're fasting, if you take it in, does your fast break or what? That's a question. Another one also to do with smoking, that some Muslim, who's in a Jamaat and pie, they sell cigarettes. They say it's haram to sell cigarettes. So what's the clearance there also? Those are the questions. Another thing about the park, Napak, if you listen to the Quran reading over the radio and you've not parked, can you still listen to it, or it's better to switch it off or make wazoo, or, you know, be parked?
Okay. Jazakallah so much. Mufti Saab will respond. Okay, so it was the only call on the line. Mufti Saab.
Is there another caller, Mark?
No, there isn't another caller. It's just the one.
Okay, as far as the question that brother posed, as far as the transplant is concerned, the ruling of the scholars is that it is allowed, when there is a need for it, it is allowed to do transplants. Yes, the selling of organs, etc., is not allowed. You can't sell your organ to make money out of it. That is not permissible. But for purposes of transplant, one may donate an organ and one may receive an organ. That is in order. As far as the issue of smoking is concerned, if you inhale the if you're smoking, for example, that will break your fast, because inhaling of smoke causes the fast to break. So if you are inhaling the smoke of a smoking person, deliberately you're inhaling it, that will cause your fast to break. But if it was involuntary, that you had no control over it, then that will not cause the fast to break. As far as the issue of, the sale of cigarettes, etc. is concerned, the ulama say that one should not sell cigarettes. When it comes to the issue of the listening to the Quran on the radio when a person is not in a state of purity, then that will be permissible. One does not have to be in a state of tahara to listen to the Quran. One can listen to the Quran no matter what condition or state a person is in. It will be allowed and permissible to listen. You don't need to switch it off.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. As Mufti Saab had answered the caller that called in, the first question was with regards to having a transplant done. Apologies for that. Mufti Saab, I see another question has come through. The question reads, Assalamu alaikum, Molana, I had a transplant and have a stroke. Is it permissible for me to fast?
If you had a stroke and it has affected your health, drastically, then if you're unable to fast, and the doctors also verify that your situation is such that you should not be fasting because it could cause your health to deteriorate further, then it won't be required to fast. And you could keep qaza later, or otherwise give the fidya of the misfast. But if you are able to fast, then and the doctors also verify that no, you are in a position to fast, then one should fast.
Jazakallah. Mufti Saab, another question coming through on the SMS number. Assalamu alaikum. My zakat calculation date is the 1st of Ramadan. If I pay some zakat prior to this date, must I include this amount as part of my assets when calculating my zakat?
No, if you paid zakat in advance, that will be regarded as valid. And you must just adjust it on the 1st of Ramadan. If there were some additional assets that you acquired, then you could add that amount to the amount that you had deducted already for payment towards zakat. So that is in order. There's no issue with that.
Well, there's another question coming through. The question reads, if I have completed my 20 rakats of Taraweeh in a masjid and thereafter I join another group that is perhaps reading 3 paras a night, so the question is, can I join them? And secondly, can I lead them in Taraweeh as I will make intention of Nafal while they will make intention of Sunnah?
As far as joining them is concerned, there's no problem. You may certainly join them and, read extra rakats this will be Nafil Salah for you. If you completed your Taraweeh Salah, so this will be Nafil Salah. And you can read as many rakats of Nafil Salah, the more the better. But as far as leading them is concerned, that will not be correct, because you have now completed your Sunnah Mu'akkad of Taraweeh. So you should not be leading them in Salatul Taraweeh, because they are reading Sunnah and you will be reading Nafil. So you should not lead them in the Salatul Taraweeh. Somebody else should lead them. But yes, you can join them and follow the Imam that is leading them.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. I think we'll take this last question and then we'll terminate the program, because we still need to take an air break. The question is, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. We're told to ask for death in Medina. What is the benefit of passing away in Medina? JazakAllah.
SubhanAllah, indeed. We should make dua for death in Medina. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made that dua. Allahumma zukni shahadatin fi sabilik. وَرْزُقْنِي مَوْتًا بِبَلَدِ حَبِيبِكَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sayyidina Umar made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for death in Medina and death of Shahada. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that man the one who is able to die in Medina, فَلْيَمُدْ بِهَا, he should aspire for death in Medina, meaning he should make dua for death in Medina. كُنْتُ لَهُ شَفِيعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, I will be a intercessor on behalf of the people who passed away in Medina. So death in Medina is a desirable death, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned himself the virtue of death in Medina, that if you are able to have death in Medina, then you should aspire for that kind of a death. For I will intercede on behalf of the people who passed away in Medina. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us all, through His grace and mercy, death in that beautiful city of Medina Munawwara.
Ameen, ameen. Mufti Saab, I did say the previous question is the last one, but there's one question that came and we're going to terminate it on this question. The question reads, Assalamu alaikum, I have a bladder problem and sometimes few drops of urine just comes out. Do I have to take a ghusl or can I just wash?
No, it's not necessary to make a ghusl. One has to just wash off that part. Obviously, the private part will have to be washed. And if the clothing, the underwear, etc., got soiled, then one must change that. That much suffices. There's no need to take a ghusl for the few drops that have fallen out.
JazakAllah, Mufti Saab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for sharing with us your vast knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, taking our precious time from this beautiful month and answering our questions.
Ameen. Now, just to complete that answer, yes, it will cause the wuzu to break. Bear that in mind. The drops of urine will cause the wuzu to break, but ghusl will not be required. JazakAllah khairan, Mawlana. It's been nice to be with you on this program. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it.
JazakAllah. It has certainly been a pleasure from my side. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of benefit for each and every one of us. JazakAllah. Ameen. Mufti Saab, we request you for your special du'as, inshallah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all abundance of goodness in this month, of barakat in this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us plenty of tawfiq of all the righteous deeds. Allah give us the strength to stay away from all the prohibited things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imbue us all with the very objective of this month to acquire the quality of taqwa. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Ameen, ameen. JazakAllah to Mufti Saab and JazakAllah to the listeners for listening into this program, sending in your questions. Remember, when you send in a question, it's not only you that is benefiting, it's not only you that is learning, it is not only you that is getting your answers, your questions answered, but alhamdulillah, we are all benefiting and we are learning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that you can practice upon the true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, we terminate this program. In a few minutes, I'll be back with the news. جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.